Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
No power rankings today? None?
NHL?
NFC?
Both.
Both?
English Premier League?
How's Everton doing?
They're probably eighth.
They're usually eighth, but yeah. The last time I thought about them, they were good. They were, like, first.
Yeah.
They didn't play anybody yet, though, right?
Listen.
They had that stretch where...
What, do you want to play the 85 Bears?
Oh, they're eighth.
Are they really?
Tied with Man United, 14 points.
Ugh. Man United.
And Arsenal at 14 points.
See,
this is my fault for even mentioning this league. I'm sick about the state of my beloved, longtime, born and raised. No, I'll stop. Things aren't going well.
You know what having Everton in eighth is if it's your team? It's today in terms of weather. It's nice. It's sort of
today's great.
It's comfortable. No, it's not great. It's just
great.
Okay. Well, it's today.
It's pretty great.
It's fine. It's a little bit less than it's yesterday then. Like it's, I don't know if that works either. It's just okay. It's there. You know, you're comfortable. It's mashed potatoes
and
gravy.
It's great after yesterday in particular.
Okay.
Is really
okay.
What it is.
Now I'm regretting what I said. So Joe is the only one left at 3:01. He's the only person left on the show here who doesn't yet want to pull something back. So, you know, I just feel like that's sort of normal and good. Manchester United in eighth. Oh, no. Let the heavens fall. We've got major problems. We got to fire the manager. We got to get rid of the good players.
Go, Mike, he's got to go.
Does he?
5-0 to Liverpool.
5-0.
They lost on Sunday.
Did they pull the goalie?
They quit, I tell you. They didn't even try.
Is it like the Lightning losing here 5-1? Where they pulled the goalie?
Good possession numbers for Liverpool. Good possession numbers. I think Bulldog cares more about Man United than the Red Sox at this point. Is that even in dispute?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that statement. No.
Yeah, seems right.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm way more into their results. They haven't won since I became a fan. I've been a fan for, I don't know, it's going to be 10 years pretty soon, I think. Was that 12, 13 you bought me that game? I mean, they're supposed to be good. They spend a lot of money, and they, you know, have not been really, really good. They qualified for the Champions League a couple times since I've been interested in them. But
like, that's nothing.
They haven't won anything. No, they won some. They won like a Europa with Mourinho, I think. Like
they did. I think they did win Europa League.
Yeah.
Please,
yeah.
Europa.
So, right.
Listen,
I mean, what is that?
What is Joe? King Friday?
That's like the Yankees
like
being
the
proud
Cup.
Of being a wild card team. Like, what?
The Calder Cup.
Get out of here.
I'd love the Sabres winning the Calder Cup. I'd get into that. Anyway, just that's too weird. I don't even know how to process that statement. But yeah, that's probably right. The World Series, I wanna like it. I feel bad about not caring at all. And last night the game's going on, and I'm sort of looking for, I don't know, not support, but I'm looking at Twitter and people are worked up because it's the third inning and it's an hour or something. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's why I'm not watching. Right. That must be it. That's why I'm not watching. Right. It just feels like an NL West game. The Astros and the Braves.
The 8:28 start time, maybe. I'm guessing. That's usually when they start those things.
8:09 last night.
Oh, 8:09. Wow. That's an improvement.
But I do not care at all who wins, and that's it for me. Like that's at this point in my life, I'm just not there at all. That's the whole thing.
Yep.
So
you got there before me. You stopped watching things that you stopped feeling responsible for watching things that you didn't care about. And it's taken me longer to get there, but like this is the World Series that is done. I never even one time last night thought to turn it on. I had like a bunch of hockey games that I was interested in, and I surfed around and just hung out and did that, and then I went to bed.
Yeah, like what is actually different about your life with one winner or the other?
I mean,
like, just name anything.
Literally nothing.
Nothing is different.
It's like nothing.
So anyway, I don't want to just be all sad and talk about that. No power rankings. Yesterday, the power rankings came back to bite me a little bit, actually, which I love. I mean, it's hilarious that the power rankings matter to anyone, right? They don't.
Of course.
They don't matter to me either, except for doing them is fun. When we got it's like a draft where you get done with the draft and somebody in the room's like, let's start over. Let's do it again, because the draft is way better than the league. Mm-hmm. And the power rankings are fun to do and think about and, you know, all that prep, all that, whatever goes before.
Yeah, but
just
once,
like
once they're done, I haven't thought. Right. In fact, every week, I've thought, I don't know if you're writing them down anywhere.
Yes.
And so you know, okay, like I definitely don't. A lot of power rankings I do look at over the years will have a little number. You know, they do this with the college polls too for hockey and football, basketball. Like, where were you last week, right? So, like, up or down movement will be represented there. I have no idea where we've put these teams each week. I never know until you tell me, and I never think about them again until like 3:26 every Tuesday. I'm done with the power rankings.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Yep.
But yesterday they came back to bite me. So
how's that?
Well, I have this fantasy team, right? And I share it with my friend Mark. And I haven't always shared teams. Like, it's kind of new. I have my friend Louie. And he and I shared like a relatively high stakes team last year, and that went pretty well. Like, we didn't win a lot or anything, but like the give and take between him and me was just right. You know, like I can tell you want this, take it, and he'll say the same to me. I can tell you want this, take it, right? And then once in a while you'd have like a coin flip, and I don't know, we just decide. And so Mark, who is like, he's a good friend, and this is our first time sharing a team. And a couple of times he's had very different ideas than mine, which I am here for. Like, I don't know. I'm not the big winner. Mikey's not the big winner, right? Like, I'm immersed in it, but I don't have like, you know, trophies, really.
Right. You're not like Belichick or something.
No.
You're not to be deferred to necessarily.
Right. And while I am sort of like, here I am talking about the World Series and things, like, I'm just not interested in that anymore. And I kind of feel bad about it sometimes. One thing I feel good about myself about is, like, I know what I don't know. So when you start this guy and I really don't agree, I mean, I'll every time, whoever you are, I will listen to it. Like, just, all right, well, I'm not sure, so you tell me, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a guy I definitely enjoy listening to and hearing his thinking. He's a smart guy. So he is interested in C.J. Uzama, the Bengals tight end. Mm-hmm. We're weak at tight end. We lost Kittle. And we had a tough start to the season. We had that Prescott game where he kneeled down twice and we lost. And coming back into the game, that's just cruel. So we had a tough start. We won a couple, but we're still waiting on Kittle, and we're at Njoku. And it's just kind of been a thing where every button we push, it goes wrong. We got Njoku at the wrong time after his good game against the Chargers. Then we played him and whoever else we were going to play. I think it was Jarwin. Like, he scored. So we've just sort of missed it each time. And now we're sitting here on Njoku, and I'm like, Mark, you know, there's nobody better this week. Everybody better is taken. And he's like, well, what about Uzama? And I'm like, I said, I can't do it. It's partly because, like, he's just had two smash games, you know? Like, He had two touchdowns last week in Baltimore. They don't throw the ball to him. He's had three targets in two games or something. Like, they don't throw the ball to him. And they never throw the ball to him in the end zone. One time all year. But, I mean, you get a touchdown from your tight. If Tommy Sweeney shows up in Knox's place on Sunday and catches one pass for 3 yards and a touchdown, like, that's 10 points. That's 11 points in this thing.
It's a win. Yeah.
It's not 11 points. It's like 8.5 plus 6 plus – it's 7.8. Anyway, like, that rates. If you get a touchdown from your tight end and nothing else, that rates. So – It's kind of the Wild West there.
It sounds like you'd be doing with Uzama what you already did with Njoku.
Yes, you're just sort of chasing it. And I am not interested in Njoku. It's just who we have. And so, okay, fine. If we just traded him for free for Uzama, then fine. But I don't want to bid on him, really. You know, like, and plus he's kind of a headline now. So I feel like we'd have to bid a number to get him.
You're buying high now.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. I mean, look, I'll just tell you, I'd never heard of the guy before last Sunday.
Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, it's just like I'm not immersed in this the way you are, and like I don't watch the Bengals, and like I just didn't really know who the guy was. Like, oh, wow, look at this guy. So like casual fans are now aware of him is what I'm telling you by saying that. And like that's not the time to go buy a guy, I don't think.
Right. Remember the Jacksonville Thursday night game? He had two in that game. But, you know, okay, right. Like, he's not a consistent – he's not a top 10 tight end or anything. So, but, you know, he likes him. And I don't like the guy we have any better. And it's give and take. So, I'm like, all right, Uzama. But the first couple times he mentioned him, I just ignored him. I didn't have anything to say about Uzama. And I didn't want to battle on it. So, I'm just like, just sort of like, let it pass. He keeps coming back at me with Uzama, you know, in a nice way. There's nothing argumentative about any of this. If it matters, I just know he's listening, so I want him to hear me say that. So he just keeps coming back at me with Uzama. I'm just thinking, like, no, they don't throw the ball to him. It's just like it's just tight end life, you know. And he said, but it's a good offense, Cincinnati, and the Browns are not as good of an offense, and they have Austin Hooper and even Bryant. Like, he's right. So Uzama is more the tight end. He's like all of it, in pretty much in Cincy, and the Browns thing is all divided up. Like, okay. The Browns run the ball. The Bengals have started throwing it. Okay. Quarterback's better. Okay. And then I finally said something. I finally, like, you know what? I'm just not into this guy. Like, I said the things to him that I have said to you. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but didn't you guys rank the Jets last? They're playing the Jets. Didn't you guys, they're last in your power rankings, I believe. Like, oh no. I don't know how to recover from this. This is the knockout blow. The Bengals are playing the Jets, and we rank them below everybody.
Well, Well, you did it to yourself. I wanted to put Houston there.
I know. It's not even ours. It's me especially.
Right.
Like,
I
can't get out of it.
That was your idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. Thanks for not working harder. That could have made a difference.
Oh.
What do we put
We burned two entire segments doing those things. I mean, it was as hard as we've ever gone at it, I think.
I know. Where do we put Miami? 14th? I think that's right.
Sure. Yeah, because we have Jets, Houston, then Miami, I think is what we did.
Well, I was trying to put them last.
Miami.
Yeah.
What a franchise. See the Tua quote today?
Yes.
That poor guy.
I know.
Do you think you're wanted? I don't think I'm not wanted.
Yeah.
And here we are. Here we are with Watson. Like, last night we had a report, Houston Chronicle report, that they've agreed on a trade, but the Dolphins need the legal stuff, A, ironed out first, and B, they need to know the punishment. And, like, just come on with this story. I mean, how could they not know where these things stand? Like, we're the only people who don't know where they stand. Of course the Dolphins would know where all that stands. But I don't know. Like, what have the Dolphins actually done here in the last couple of years? What have they actually done here? They drafted this guy, like, a top prospect. Could have been the number one overall pick. Like, he could have been. For a while there last year in the college season, or, you know, 2 years ago now, he seemed like he would be. with Herbert, and then Burrow just sort of came on. Anyway, like he was a candidate for that on the best team in the sport. Like, there were not really holes poked in him, right? Would you guys say different? Bulldog may have left.
After Herbert,
the fantasy thing, on Tua.
The holes were his health.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But that was going to improve, right? He dropped. Okay, we'll get him back, of course. Imagine if I said we wouldn't. Like, that he was going to get better. So, anyway, whatever he was as a prospect, he was good enough to not be like a crazy idea at five.
No, the year before, I mean, Tank for Tua was a thing. Like, he was thought of as, like, the first overall pick the next season. And then he got hurt, and he was still, like, again, it was just health. Like, there was no real questions about the player that I remember.
Right. So the Dolphins do that. And how have they done? It's been a weird one. You have teams that draft quarterbacks like that, and the quarterback sits. Like, it's the 49ers right now, I guess. You have teams more often that put them right in, and you ride it out, and you go for however long before you pull the plug. Hopefully you end up where the Bills have gotten to, where it's just like, okay, we made it. We're through. We're through the rookie growth period, and here's your contract. Now let's go win championships, right? Like, that's the goal, obviously. And so that happens. What have the Dolphins done? They drafted him. They had this weird year where they were in contention last season, even though they were, like, not good, right? Not hashtag actually good. And they kept taking him out of games. And now we get to this year, and the whole thing is just sort of had the legs kicked out from under on Watson. Like, the Dolphins seem responsible for the speculation about Watson, right? At no point did they ever just say no, kind of like Carolina has tried to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And so,
yeah, I mean, the coach has done what he can do. It seems like, right, but there's nothing. They're obviously connected. So he's living this life where he probably is right to feel like he's just a stopgap at this point. Like, they definitely, if they want Deshaun Watson, that means they want someone better than him. And, okay, that's fine. Maybe if you can't get Deshaun Watson, you just live with him. But you've hardly gotten that car out of the garage and driven it. You know, like you said, like, you kept parking it and starting over and just jerking around with it. And the whole thing has just been sloppy is what it's been. And you know, meanwhile, they're trying to trade for a guy that's got, you know, 22 civil lawsuits hanging over his head for sexual assault and misconduct. Okay, like, I mean, there is
that part, too.
Right. So, like, yeah, Tua is not – I don't envy him at all. Like, you know, I mean, I know, right, the life, the contract and all the stuff, but, like, he's – and I don't even think he's that good anymore. Like, I've sort of lost my support for him has evaporated. But that doesn't mean I don't have sympathy for the guy. Like, I don't think he's gotten as much of a – fair shot as maybe he should have gotten.
He had a pretty nice game Sunday against Atlanta, but nonetheless, I mean, he threw for four in that game. He had two interceptions that weren't great, but, you know, he put a real game up, and they lost at the gun. Atlanta made a field goal, really easily winnable game by the Dolphins. Wouldn't be easy for me to blame him that they lost, but I don't know. It has felt like it's over. It's just sort of this very strange example of a team drafting a number one pick and doing kind of, I don't know if this has to be right, but it feels right. They kind of did the opposite of what teams always do in that we had this over and over. I made this point all the time with Josh Allen and other guys in other years, like Manuel. Once you make that pick, you are standing there for a long time. You are going to stand there, and if it's pouring, you are going to get wet. You are going to stand outside and live with it because you just, like you said about Bean and McDermott when Allen was sort of not there yet, these guys will go down with him. Like, if he doesn't make it, they're all gone too, which, you know, may have been right. And so what the Dolphins did is not – they did the opposite of this. They drafted him, and instead of, like, supporting him and kind of getting through to see what they've got in some reasonable amount of time, which, you know, that's subjective, they kept putting Ryan Fitzpatrick in over him, right? And then this year happens, and it's just the whole year has just been this distraction with Watson, and the coach cannot even bring himself to disown it. It's just like, what a weird thing. How would that ever be expected to succeed?
They really haven't given it. To me, I think it's fair to say, you know, they haven't given it. They haven't given it a fair chance. I don't think they have. You know, I'm down on the guy, but it's partially because of the way they've handled him. Like, the way they've handled him is telling to me. Like, they don't believe in him. So how the hell am I in Buffalo, New York, supposed to believe in him? You know what I mean? They just keep jerking him around. And they didn't jerk him around this year. He got hurt. But the Watson thing is a massive jerking around. I know that – and look, the clock ticks faster than ever. I mean, E.J. Manuel got 14 starts, you know?
That's pretty tight.
And he missed six games his rookie year, but he got 10 games there, 4 games into his second year. Like, nope, we're done. And that was it. Like, he got pulled out of there and, like, never really, I don't want to say never had a chance again. I mean, he was a part of a competition the following year, but come on. He just was never going to reclaim that status. And here we are with Tua, and that can't be 14 starts yet. I mean, he's only had, what has he had, 4 this year?
I think it might exactly be 14 starts. It's really close to that, I think.
Okay.
Still, it's short. And how many have they won? I don't know. They've not been – well, they've been pretty bad this year.
Yeah. I don't know. It's short, and they haven't been – it was interrupted all the time last year. That's part of the point.
Yes. You know,
by choice, not by injury. Like, EJ only played those 10 games that rookie year, but it was, you know, it was because he was hurt.
Tua played 10 games as a rookie, starting 9, and this year he's started 4. So this will be his 14th start on Sunday, assuming – he gets it, and they don't trade for Watson today and start him over Tua. Like, where does we don't even know where the Watson thing would leave Tua. It just wouldn't eventually, at least, be in Miami. It could be anywhere. It probably wouldn't be in Houston, I think. Who knows? Who knows? Just what a sort of embarrassing kind of process and episode that probably will end in Watson, right? Like, that's probably where this goes, where they do trade for
sometime
him.
Or another. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I still don't think it happens by Tuesday, but, you know, there's a lot of breathless reporting that indicates otherwise. But I think, if especially if Carolina is dropping out and Watson is in control and wants to go to Miami, if I'm Miami, I don't do it until after the winter and he's gone through all the stuff. Because there'll be more clarity on his legal situation this offseason, and I don't see the point in taking the risk now.
But they have sabotaged this season every step of the way because of Watson in this perhaps misguided quest for Deshaun Watson. They've wrecked their own relationship. They've wrecked their own place with their quarterback, who is not, I don't know, like, if you want it, we got to get to a break here. If you want to tell me, you know what, guys, he's just not good. So what are you worried about? And I'm sure a lot of people would say that, a lot of Dolphins people, because fans are always going to defend their team, almost always, most fans anyway. That's what the Dolphin fan is going to say. He's like, well, he's not good anyway. So what's the problem? I guess, but I feel like they gave it a very terrible effort. 803.
I think both things can be true, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you can say, I don't think he looks like a number one, like, can't-miss franchise quarterback, but they also haven't really seen it through, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, Bills and Dolphins Sunday, something perhaps unprecedented about the matchup that we'll get to as we talk about it. Sal Capaccio joins us at 4. We'll check in on other things, too. The Sabres headed west for their next game tomorrow night at Anaheim. Yesterday we talked a lot about the Sabres, and if you want to tell us how you think – you know, they're doing it, or whether it will last, we'll certainly keep the door open for you if you want to join us on that subject. Again, the number 803-0550. Sal Capaccio later. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I'll call it legal approaches that are being made either through the civil cases. Obviously, the police have been investigating also. We don't have all the access to that information at this point in time, and we pride ourselves on not interfering in that, being cooperative as we can to make sure we get all the facts. But I think that process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commission or exempt, we don't feel that we have that as necessary information at this point.
Sorry to everybody who might feel sick after listening to the commissioner. I don't know. How do you live with yourself? He probably has no trouble. He's probably got a great pool and an arcade in his basement or something. Like, yeah. How do you do it? How do you do it? Like politicians sometimes. I mean, I'll just say sometimes. How do you do it? How do you go up? How do you stand up there and say we don't have enough information? Like, how do you say that out loud in a room with people in it? Just how do you do it? How do you do it? That's just I don't know.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know either, man. I've been I woke up today thinking about Joel Quenneville. Not that we're, like, here to talk about that specifically right now, but, like, just how do you and what I was thinking about was how does that really feel? Like, how does he, since that moment, like, back in 2010, like, is that something that you forget about? Do you just, like we, you know, look, I'm not perfect. I've done things that I deeply regret in my life. But I've never been so irresponsible, like, I don't know how you could possibly do that and, like, just keep going. I don't know, man. Like, wouldn't that keep you up at night? That you participated in a cover-up that has led to more abuse of other people? That, like, I don't know, man. I don't know how people can function like that, man. It seems like it would be something that would just eat you up.
I have to say that seems like what's being alleged in that report. Like, there's still some uncertainty. I want to say on Quenneville, just, like, there are quotes, and he wrote, what was it? We talked about this yesterday. He wrote, like, an appraisal of the guy's work. Then he may have written it. Seemed like to the report in the report that he had, he when interviewed about it, didn't say. He said it. You know, it read like he could have written it, but he didn't sign it. You know, so there's just some. I think there's just some uncertainty in that makes me want to point that out. But yeah, you know, I don't know. Just seems like everything is a scandal today. Like, there's the Blackhawks. And in football, you know, it just always happens when you have the owners' meetings. Anytime the owners meet.
Right.
Like,
right.
And with the Washington thing, I'm reading about the Washington thing, and then I look to my left, and there's a story from Seth Wickersham on the Rams owner, who Wickersham was on our show last week, is trying to wiggle away from these fines or these fees.
Right.
And
St. Louis. Right.
From leaving St. Louis, and some of the other owners don't appreciate that. Like, Kraft is one in this article. It was like, you know, it just felt like a day where everywhere I looked, I was reading some kind of story like that.
That definitely was the vibe even last night. Rob Manfred talking about the Braves.
Yes.
Was not great. You had the commissioner of the NFL, and then, you know, Bettman is like, well, we're going to go talk to Joel Quenneville. Like, okay, all right. He's going to be behind the bench tonight, I assume, for the game against Boston. Like, all right. Well, yeah, not a banner day for those guys in those jobs, I wouldn't say.
No. We know with sports, you know, we know what matters to sports. Here's Adam with us. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling.
So, before the break, you guys asked why you think the Sabres have been able to string together some wins. And I really don't think there's any other explanation other than the sheer amount of just grit that these young guys and the older veterans have. I really don't think we've seen anything like it in the organization in maybe the last decade, since the last playoff run. You know, I've kind of been comparing this team to the Lions in the NFL, even though Lions haven't won a game. My guess is that our comparative win totals will be about the same, but you look at the Lions, and they have no business being in any of these games, but somehow they seem to be always in it. They fight tooth and nail for Campbell, and that's the same feeling I get with these guys for Granato. It was the same at the end of last year and same at the beginning of this year, too.
Well, I feel like there's some merit to that, but I don't at all feel like it's anything close to unprecedented. I might think that there's way more luck in sports than you do, and I might think that the Lions have some good players in a league that's very even, and so do the Sabres. So I don't want to like denigrate the point or the thought that the Sabres are, you know, battling, but, you know, come on. Like, it's not going to come down to that in the NHL. All the teams try. And so I want to
really
like
shouldn't.
It.
I mean,
no, I want to like and respect it too, but I want to be real about it. And to me, as I said yesterday, like there's a long way to go before I'm sort of like, okay, maybe this is legit. Because
yeah. I admire what they're doing greatly.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, just go ahead.
I admire what they're doing greatly. I do think they are maxing out. I think that's the only way a team that's as undermanned as this team can be competitive even in just these first six games. And if they can maintain that, I'll be blown away. I just think eventually the talent gap is going to bite you in pro sports. I mean, it's hard to get by. And they just are really lacking top end, really any really top end talent. And that's just going to be hard, I think, to overcome. Maybe people will start thinking about the Islanders, who've been a team that's been hard to play against since Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello got there. That's their thing, right? And we'll see. But they've got Barzell, they've got guys. I mean, they've got proven high end guys. And I'm trying to get by with Tage Thompson as my number one center or Dylan Cousins. Like, pick either one. I don't think you've got a guy there that projects like a Barzell, for example. So I just think you're going to be in tough eventually. But that is not at all to blow off the caller's point, because I think they are maxing out on effort. I don't know that it's unprecedented either, but they are definitely, to me, dug in and playing for this coach.
No, I mean, they won 10 games in a row 3 years ago. And they had a nice winning streak the year after that. I might even need to move that up. I'm not positive as I sit here. And I think that doesn't count right now, because this is our team right now, and that team had Jack Eichel on it. And that's going to be walk into any bar, right? Like I say sometimes, go find a conversation about this, and it's going to get right to him. It gets right to him. His not being here. We are always, this is not all, you know, embarrassing. Like, we always want to support the team. So if he's not on the team, okay. I mean, I'm the same way. This is the team I've got. I'm not going to trade allegiances to whatever team he goes to. I mean, I never really fell in love anyway. So I'm not inclined to do that. It's the Buffalo Sabres. This is home. This is my team, no matter what. But like there's also like this idea that they didn't work hard like this because Eichel. They didn't, you know, care like this because Eichel, right? Like the Islanders have top end players, but they were not generational talents, you know, hashtag right. Walking into the league and guys that were just supposed to be able to change everything. So that makes it a little bit easier to sort of fall into a kind of a, I don't know, a reputation, so to speak.
The coaching is a huge, how they were asked to play the last 2 years. I mean, it doesn't explain away 10 years, okay? But, you know, as cool of an idea as Ralph Krueger seemed to many of us, including me, before he got the job, the way he had them playing plainly did not match their talent, because they might have even had more talent on the teams when he was here last year and the year before. And what did it get them? I mean, they wanted to play defense, and like their own zone was a mess, and you know, Ristolainen of course was a problem too. But that the coaching, the style, Granato's style has worked for this group. And, you know, I don't know that it wouldn't have worked for the group last year that Kruger ran into the side of a mountain. It might have. It might have worked with Jack on the team, and then we wouldn't be talking about he's the worst person who's ever lived, or, you know, whatever, however that bar conversation you're referencing would go, because the team looks good now with him not on it, ergo, he must have been the problem. Oh. And I'm not here to tell you he wasn't. I don't know. But I'm also not going to convict him of something I don't know.
Well, you know what kind of player he was for them, right? Like you don't know nothing on this. We can measure that. We've seen him. We have both. We can measure how good he was. Like, there's no way that's not a positive impact. To me, I guess I have to couch that. I have to say, like, that's my opinion. You know, I think it's yours.
He was an excellent player. What I'm saying is, I don't know that his absence from the group allows everyone else to be better. Because he was just such a horrible leader, or like just a bad influence on the group or something. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that. Is there any dispute that he's an excellent player? I mean, I would never dispute that.
No, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. It's just, at least there need to be a lot more games before anybody starts trying to draw the conclusions on that. Who are we talking about? We're talking about, I mean, I guess this isn't anything because this is how it always is. We're talking about players who would never have said a word about him while he was here. Oposo and Gergensen's and like veteran players on the team. Oposo was on this show one day in the summer, and he said he was with Eichel like right then. They were skating together. Like these are not guys, as far as I know. I don't want to really talk about this because it's just all such a guess. But it's why I would also not assume the negative on that. Somehow his presence was negative, right?
Right. Yeah. I did have I got a guy that knows a guy that was on the team last year. Knows him well, a player that was on the team last year who raved. And I'll say this. I don't want to give I'm not going to say the guy's name. It was a guy that you might have thought would have shown up. And if Eichel was some of the things that people might think he is, that this would be a guy that would have told you. I'm just trying to get by in the league, and this guy is Mr. Entitled and all that, and I heard the opposite. He worked his ass off. Like, if anything, maybe some of the younger kids were intimidated by how demanding he was of himself and them. That's what I heard about him, which is kind of the opposite of any sort of narrative that he was checked out and didn't care. So, you know, I've had that in the back of my mind all this time too, while this case of circumstances is mounting to him having been the problem on the team.
Which means winning 4 out of 6 in the NHL, which we've seen every team do, including this one, over and over in awful years. Just, you know, I can enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it, but I want to try to be right about it. And it's a long way from, you know, showing itself for what it probably really is. Sal Capaccio coming up. One quick hockey thing, I guess, while we're on hockey. The Leafs and Chicago tonight. Chicago has not had the lead in a game yet in 6 games.
I believe that's right.
That's kind of insane. Here I am talking about how any team can win.
Yeah.
And they have not had the lead.
when they played their first home game, I don't know if this made the rounds on social media. I don't know if you're following as many hockey people as I am on Twitter, for example. But they introduced the coach, and the booing was loud when they announced the coach at the home opener. Wow. So I don't think things are going real well.
They have that strong an opinion about him.
Yeah. It would surprise me. I didn't what happened? Like, why is that happening already? It doesn't sound good.
Want to go to the game tonight, honey? Sure, it sounds like fun. Let's go.
Immediately boos the coach.
Just stand up and scream boos at people.
They're already wanting Claude Julien to take over there, like early season firing, and maybe that could happen there. That's happened in the league before.
Travis Yost is recommending that they liquidate the franchise, which I think is also an interesting idea.
Just
probably not going to happen.
Plow it into a landfill.
Probably not going to happen.
Yep. Probably not, no.
Where is Julian? It's about time for him to reappear.
He's nowhere. He's on a boat.
Nowhere.
He's on a boat somewhere.
He's on one of these pregame shows? In football, he would definitely be on a pregame
show. I know Tortorella's doing media.
Yeah, Boudreau is on NHL Network. I saw him last night, but I've not seen Julian anywhere.
Weird.
Maybe he's doing like French-Canadian.
Maybe. Good thought.
RDS.
Maybe. We'll talk to Sal at 4, about 15 minutes from now. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. I would be delighted if you came and joined me in the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. You can win $1,000 a week, up to $1,000 a week, just for picking games. It's free to play. And you can sign up by texting PICKS to 20357. Then just pick the winner of each week's games, starting with the Thursday night game, which this week is Green Bay at Arizona. Rocket Mortgage, the 2021 Pro Football Pick'em, $1,000 up for grabs each week. Text PICKS to 20357. Green Bay at Arizona, too bad without Adams. Like, this would
really
have been...
stinks.
Yeah, yeah, right? Like,
yeah, like maybe... I was thinking yesterday, we were talking to Sam Monson maybe, I don't know. Is this the best Thursday night game ever, maybe? Like that those teams with those records, I mean, those could be the top two teams in the NFC playing on Thursday night. Like, that is nice. I'm sure there have been other really good Thursday night games, but it's, you know, oftentimes it's a lot of Jacksonville and Houston, it feels like, right? That's the slate. It's the least appealing of the three primetime, you know, regular windows. And to get those two teams in there was nice. And now the Packers are so compromised, losing Adams and Lazard too, but mostly Adams.
Yeah, he moved the line, Adams being out, moved the line 2 or 3 points. But I don't have numbers in front of me. I wanted to get them. I just didn't. Evan Silva was talking about how Rodgers in six career games without Davante Adams has been amazing. Like, all his numbers are better, and the Packers won every time when Adams didn't play. Now, Vegas doesn't think that here because they were +3, another +6. But it's kind of cool, right? Like, when Rodgers has not had Adams, he's been better, and the Packers have won their games.
I saw something to that effect yesterday, too, and it wasn't from Evan Silva. I think it was maybe a coach. Maybe the coach wasn't named. It was just someone saying, like, one coach told me when he doesn't have Adams, he has to dig in and, like, just it. The premise is when he's got Davante Adams, he's just going to drop back and look for Davante Adams, and he's good enough to be more effective than just looking for his best guy all the time. But it becomes sort of a habit, is the assertion. And without him, he'll work the whole field, and you know that he can still be really dangerous because of that.
Fantasy-wise, you want it for Aaron Jones. You want it for, I think, the tight end is maybe obviously more appealing, Tonyan. And then after that, I don't know what it means. Maybe you get like a deep dive receiver, Equanimeous St. Brown, perhaps. And maybe A.J. Dillon is in the backfield. Would they use Jones out wide? Who knows? But it's interesting that Vegas, the line moved toward Arizona for Joe Ostrowski tomorrow. With that being the case on Rodgers' career, playing without Adams. Tomorrow night, Packers, Cardinals. We have the Sabres tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, start at the Ducks. Next, Sal Capaccio, his big return. I mean, he's been on the station, but he hasn't been on our show in more than a week. Took a vacation after the...
He was on Monday? Yeah.
I wasn't. That's bad. Of course he was on Monday.
What's your problem?
Sorry. I haven't talked to Sal in a while is all. This is that.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And we'll have that for you right after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.